Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Ed Piskor.
I'm Sean, Japan Book Hunter.
And I'm Brian Moss.
And today we're going to take a look at some rare treats from Kazuo Umez. Known as Kazuo Umezu in the States, they forego the last Z in favor of a U.
Yeah, because his birth name was, you know, Umezu.
I see.
Right? But he likes to go by Umez.
I dig it. And in the States, we have a number of books that have been translated. Drifting Classroom and Cat-Eyed Boy just got a new release. It's been out of print for quite a while, but it's got a new release. So just want to give some visual aids to the cartoonists that we're going to be checking out. There's also a series called 14 that is super great that I have collected little tankobon of, but I don't know that it's been translated in English yet.
I don't think it has yet, and it's a big series, 17 volumes, mm-hmm. and Chicken George, man, the
right.
amazing Chicken George.
Yes, that was my introduction, man. Like, it's an incredible costume. Maybe I'll flash an image up of that, but we are here with Sean, the Japan Book Hunter, at his headquarters, and of course Sean is slanging the rarities and the bougie treats. So let's take a look at some of that rare umez. The videos are brought to you by the books that we make, and 2023 was and is a big year. 2024 is going to be just the same. The Hip Hop Family Tree omnibus is out there. About 75% of this print run has been accounted for, so you guys have about 25% left of our stock to go. Scoop up that book if you see it. It's going to make an excellent gift. The X-Men Grand Design Trilogy comes out November 14th. It collects all of my X-Men Grand Design works inside of one nice, handy soft cover. Scoop that up. There are three volumes of Red Room that are completed. Two of them are out on the stands right now, The Antisocial Network and Trigger Warnings. But coming to you in early 2024 is Red Room Crypto Killers with dozens of pages of extra features and commentary in the back. Street Angel, Princess of Poverty is coming to you at the end of November. It is a companion piece to Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive. You get both of these books. You have all of Jimmy's Street Angel comics to date. He's been self-publishing, and here you have True Crime Funnies, the Black and White zine, 1986 zine. Go to Jimmy's website. He might be sold out right at the moment, but you never know. He might have fresh stock, depending on when you're watching this video. And Hulk Grand Design is Jimmy's contribution to the Grand Design mythology that we have created for Marvel Comics. Now that we're done paying the bills, let's get back to the video.
All right.
What do we have here?
So this is a box set released in 1982, and they're reprints of his rental manga that he had put out in his early career. And when we say early career, he was 14 years old. He started at 14.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then he was mass producing right off the bat.
Wow.
So the one key thing about this is at the very bottom of the stack, there's a little supplemental. And they put these supplementals in box sets to just kind of explain what's going on. And if you open up that first page there.
Oh my goodness.
Signed with a little drawing by Umez, of course.
Now, Sean, the people at home are getting stoked. They're pulling out their wallets. Is this from your personal collection?
This is from my personal collection, but I do track stuff like this down. But, I mean, this is actually when I moved into this new space. A present to myself. I think I paid about $350 for the set.
That's incredible. But we should probably let the people know that you do traffic in Umez comics. Like those Cat Eye Boys I took off of your retail shelf.
Yes, those are for sale. And I have a lot of stuff. God's Left Hand, Devil's Right Hand. Lots of his one-shots.
He did gag manga early on?
He did a lot of gag manga. He did Makoto-chan, which was his most famous gag manga series. That became an anime on TV.
Okay.
Like many of his titles became anime, but the most esoteric stuff never made it, like 17, or whereas you had other things. NHK made a radio drama of I Am Shingo, for example.
I see.
So in NHK is like our, you know, PBS of Japan.
Of course, yes.
So would something like this be readily available, Sean, or is this like hard to find?
This is hard to find because this was a limited edition box set, limited to 500.
Oh, so do everyone has a sketch in it, you think, or no?
No. So what he probably did was held an exhibition around the time of the release to promote it. People who bought the box sets at the exhibition got him signed, and those who missed out had to just go pick it up without the awesome art in it.
Yeah, should have been born earlier.
We talked about this before. The Kashihon drawn reasonably fast. Now I'm taking a look through this, and I think that I see some deliberate influence, probably from Tezuka, because it has that that Fleischer type style, you know, like the old school Disney animation type
vibe. The rubber
vibe.
Tube.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some idea about when these rent? Well, I mean, what's the era of the rental manga?
So it would be later 50s into the mid 60s.
Right.
So these are probably early 60s, 63-ish around there, and then also similar style at that time. You know, Tatsumi Yoshiharu. Yoshihiro, sorry.
Right.
And of course Tezuka. And then later all those guys, of course, branched out into their own styles.
Look at this, man. You could see little glimmers of future Umes in the mix here.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff is really sweet to look at because you're seeing a lot of rough edges that get burnished off.
Yeah, it's experimental, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, playing with different tools to get that ink line down.
Yeah.
That's a struggle for a lot of cartoonists in the States whenever they're putting pen to paper on their printed works, like trying to figure out how to navigate inking takes a while for more adventurous creators.
Yeah.
You know, the creator that doesn't kind of just settle into a routine early.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Hansel and Gretel, huh? Is this all fairy tales?
So this one is a collection of some fairy tale based stuff. So a lot of the rental manga, they were either kind of rip off fairy tales, sports, meaning sumo and baseball, or they were like mystery, you know, kind of, you know, like Tintin type stuff.
Of course. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense because, you know, the famous one that I know really is that New Treasure Island, Tezuka. So of course that's a riffing off of some public domain properties.
Yeah. There was a lot of riffing off stuff in those days.
This is something that I always like to see in drawings. Something that it's an observant kind of quality to like have the sun rays come through the foliage.
Yeah.
That's easy to miss if you're drawing something like this. But whenever it's added, it's always an excellent touch.
Yeah. There's a lot of learning here going on. So this is definitely a great video to pause on and zoom in, you know?
Absolutely.
Because it's literally the opposite of the Kanai Boy work and everything.
Yeah, this is my favorite kind of stuff to kind of pour through. This is sweet.
And of course, thinking about his early career to his later career when he gets into like the ultra violent, bizarre, then
it's very singular. Like his career and the kind of manga that he makes, there's just not anybody else like doing that kind of brand. I mean, he's clearly an influence of people like Junji Ito and the sort of late period, you know, shonen shoujo horror mangaka.
And a lot of them like knew him or worked under him and then just blatantly bit his style, but not in a bad way.
Right.
And, you know, homage to him.
Yeah, so we call it an homage. In hip-hop, it's called sampling.
Sampling. Well, there's a lot of sampling. I mean, like the close-up on his faces, that he always has the horrified faces.
Right.
Always like really tightly paneled. Mm-hmm. Like that's something that a lot of shoujo horror mangaka went on to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's successful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, show the
very
horror.
Very effective.
Yeah. So we're seeing it right there.
Yeah.
Like that little bit of like this, the early stages of him just doing these close-ups of the eyes.
That's a crazy dinosaur too, man. And he's using different marks for the shading and stuff, which is kind of a fascinating thing. Oh my goodness, you even see bits like this in Drifting Classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's learning along the way. And I've done some work in animation that required me to draw something like 10, 15 pages of stuff a day. Not comic pages, but pages full of just drawings of bodies, twisted up arms, all
different
stuff.
Assets.
When you have to draw fast, you learn fast. And I think that with a set like this, it's letting you know that you don't create something like Cat Eyed Boy out of thin air.
Right, exactly.
You got to put in that pencil mileage. You got to get that 10,000 hours under your belt real quick. And on top of just the drawing acumen, there's storytelling things that this guy's learning.
Right.
Very cool. Oh, we're going full shoujo with this one, huh?
Yeah. Cute, but, you know, a little mysterious. There might be a jump scare here or there, but it's, you know.
It's reasonably disturbing. Like, that's a little disturbing because it's like, it's like extra cute, but it's almost like propaganda cute, where it's like, I know they ain't gonna, it ain't gonna be like this for long.
Right.
Incredible, man. So off the top of your head, Sean, what kind of Ume stuff do you have that you're slanging that's freely available to the public?
I have some of his perfection series, like Orochi or God's Left Hand, Devil's Right Hand, which looks something like this. These are getting harder and harder. So the perfection series was all put out in 2005 and 2007 to commemorate his 50 years as a manga artist. So if you start doing the math, in 2005, almost 20 years ago, he'd already done 50 years.
That's incredible.
Of manga creating. And so they did these beautiful series called the Perfection series.
Is that what this is?
And that's what this is, God's Left Hand, the Devil's Right Hand. And then they put out a few other ones. They put out Snake Woman, they put out Orochi, they put out that Cat Eye Boy that you showed earlier. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much his key titles all got a perfection edition. And then I have a lot of his old Tankobons that he released, and then some of the Super Visual comics that he released as well. And those are a bit more affordable than the Perfection series.
These are incredible, beautifully printed. I love the graphic design. The only other books that I know that got this kind of color blocking treatment really is the big Akira Tankobon would have, mm-hmm. Multi-color blocking like this.
Right.
You don't see that often. I mean, this thing pops, man. It sizzles, dude. That's fluorescent inks.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learned about fluorescent inks from Jimmy when he was doing Octobriano, you have to print it twice.
Multiple times,
And I do know that there are Japanese publishers out here who do, like, a slow press. So I knew this dude. They somehow got photographs from a space telescope. And the dude got a deal for a book, and they insisted that they use some Japanese printer out here that has, like, a slow ruler printer that really pushes that ink into the paper. And if I was out on a limb, I would say that this was probably printed on some similar apparatus. Look at this stuff, man.
Rusty scissors. Yes. Rusty scissors. All about the scissors.
He just when you thought he showed you all the body horror one could show you, you got a girl vomiting enough to destroy a desk in a classroom.
Yeah, and then she goes on to vomit a tricycle. She goes, basically the whole kitchen sink.
Wow. Viz, publish that story for us.
That's the problem with Umez, is some of it's so bizarre that it'll never get an English mm-hmm. translation. Like Baptism, which is a wonderful series. It's only a few books, so it'd be easy to publish in English. But it's about a mother who raises a daughter. The mother's really ugly, but she raises a beautiful daughter just to kill her and steal her body and transplant her brain into it. And then she does adult things in a kid's body. That's never going to get an English translation.
Yeah, that ain't coming. So this one story, it's all about the scissors, huh? The scissors are the MacGuffin, it seems.
Yeah, so the first chapter is Rusty Scissors, and then there's different chapters, but it's all an overall theme of shows possession by this demon.
I see.
And so there's a bunch of surreal stuff going on, and he doesn't really have to stick to a clear story arc,
right,
because we're in this magical world.
Right.
So with that in mind, are a lot of these one-shots that are just ganged up?
So in this, there is an overall story to this.
Okay,
so they all tie together, but each chapter is its kind of own little mini saga.
Dig it.
And then by the time we get towards the end of volume two in this, in the Tankobon, I believe it's a 6-volume set.
Right.
Then when you start getting towards the end, then you get to see the demon that is causing all of this mayhem to happen. But, you know, along the way, you have some child murder, teacher murder, you know, puking up tricycles.
Just when he lulls you in, you'll get pages like this showing up. Unbelievable. There's a spareness to his line, and there's a uniformity to the pages that it makes me wonder if he is one of those mangaka that didn't use all that many assistants, or if he did use assistants, if they just did very, very nominal things,
yeah,
you know, like
panels.
Nothing too major.
With Umez, you don't really see any influence in the background,
right,
in the landscapes. It all seems Umez.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah, it's a very focused kind of work, you know, and that's the thing that, like, whenever Americans, like, really first discovered manga, that's the part that made everybody curious. We went through issue volume 5 of Akira with Frank Quitely on the Kayfabe channel, and he talked about being so confounded by, he described it as the cartoon masks on the characters' faces. Like, he didn't understand why the faces were built that way when the bodies and the drapery of the clothes was so accurate, and certainly the backgrounds and fighter jets and stuff are, like, picture perfect. Mm-hmm. It's something that we have to, like, read about and figure out, you know, sort of ourselves or just through immersion.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Heads in a fridge.
So, Sean, people could go to JapanBookHunter.com.
Yes, and just search Umez up in there, and a lot of titles will pop up, because I always keep Umez in stock, because one of my favorites, and one of your favorites, too, once you start reading them.
Totally. We did an interview with Peter Chung, the creator of Aeon Flux, and he cites Kazuo Umez as one of his major influences, and I'm assuming that on the Japan Book Hunter site, because Umez comes in many flavors, probably there's a range of prices, man, from more affordable to some high-end stuff.
Exactly. So I try to keep a nice wide range in there, because I just, the whole purpose of doing this in the beginning was to expose Westerners to some of this beautiful art by these mangaka that are lesser known outside of Japan. And the best way to do that is offer a little bit of everything.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Sean. Yo, Brian Moss, man, tell the people where they could get some of your comics.
For sure. If you hit my Instagram or my Etsy, it's going to be Strange Things Moss, all one word, or it's Brian Christopher Moss on Instagram, and then you can just inbox me there, and I can direct you or hook you up directly.
And those links will be in the description of this video. Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell so that we can let you know what new videos are available. We are a daily YouTube channel with more than 1,500 videos in our filmography, and there's a good chance we talked about some of your favorite comics. I encourage you to hit the magnifying glass on the front page of the Kayfabe YouTube channel, search for your favorite titles, and check out those episodes. If, by chance, we did not talk about your favorite comics on the channel yet, you have to let us know. Do so in the comments. Let us know what those comics are, and we will push those comics a little bit higher on our to-read pile. Jimmy and I are going to be at Big Apple Comic-Con come December 16th. It's been years since we've been to the Big Apple, and we look forward to seeing you guys. So please come through and bring your comics that we have yet to sign. We have a Patreon, and on the Cartoonist Kayfabe Patreon, the King Kayfabers get all the videos before anybody else, and when the internet cooperates, they are hanging out with us in a live stream recording session as we make these episodes. Mitigates the Kayfabe effect. Ultimately, the videos are brought to you by the books that we make, and before you is a pretty good sample of our bibliography, but we'll get into the nitty-gritty. Jimmy, let the people know what you got coming out soon.
My next release is Street Angel, Princess of Poverty from Image Comics. This will be out in late November in time for the holiday gift for the action comic, superhero comic lover in your life. And Street Angel, Princess of Poverty collects all the Street Angel comics that are not in Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive, also available from Image. And get both books. It'll complete your collection. I have been self-publishing lately. True Crime Funnies number 1 is available on jimrug.com, along with BW and 1986 Zine. And if they are sold out there, you can still read them on patreon.com/jimrug. And my contribution to the Grand Design history is The Hulk, which is available in limited quantities because it is sold out at the distribution level. So if you haven't added Hulk Grand Design to your collection yet, you need to pick that up next time you hit the comic shop.
Hip Hop Family Tree Omnibus is my big one for 2023, and it is going fast. Man, there's more than probably 75% of this print run is gone, and stores have been re-upping. It was the number one reordered book on Comicron. So thank you guys so much. Thanks to stores for supporting the book. But if you even have any thought that you want this or you want to get it as a gift, make sure you scoop it up right away. It's the best book I've made to date. 500 plus pages, 10-year anniversary of Hip Hop Family Tree, 50th anniversary of the culture. Scoop it up. Not the last holiday release I'm going to have. Coming November 14th is the X-Men Grand Design trade paperback, collecting all of my X-Men Grand Design works. A couple volumes of that is out of print as we speak, so make sure if you are missing out on your X-Men Grand Design, scoop that up. You'll get it all in one. And there is a trilogy of horror comics that I have made under the Red Room umbrella, Antisocial Network, Trigger Warnings, and coming in January is this trade paperback right here called Crypto Killers, which collects my 2023 season of Red Room comics with a bunch of extras. The books are the most important part of keeping cartoonist kayfabe solvent and functional. But there are some other ways to support the channel. Jimmy, let the people know.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe newsletter at the links below this video. You can also pick up Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts, merchandise, mugs, stickers, and more at our spread shop. That link is also under this video.
All good ways to support the channel. Give them those final merchant orders, Jimmy, and we'll be on our way.
Read more comics.